to Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
Lo Yehovah Israel, Lo Yehovah Am Yisrael.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present Chapter 17 of The Eternal Light. This public service program is prepared under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, features Barry Kroger as narrator and Carl Swenson as Valdemar Hofkin. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by Dr. Mortimer J. Cohen.
Thus it is written in the book of Ben Sira, Honor a physician with the honor due unto him. For the Lord hath created him, and the Lord hath given men skill, that he might be honored in his marvelous works.
Oh, be no
What is more sacred than human life? And who more worthy of esteem than the healer? Thrice blessed are his fingers, his vessels are full of healthy fluid, and the marrow of his bones is well moistened. In the year 1888, there lived in the city of Odessa a physician called Valdemar Mordecai Hofkin. Mark his name well, Hofkin, for you may put his name beside Koch and Ehrlich and Katasato and von Behring. In the spring of 1888, the rector of the medical faculty of the celebrated University of Odessa summoned to his office Dr. Valdemar Hofkin, and after permitting him to cool his heels for only an hour and a quarter, condescended to see him.
Hofkin, I'll come right to the point.
If you please, Excellency.
Professor Metchnikov wants you for his staff.
Here?
Exactly, here. I've known Metchnikov to be wrong, but he thinks you have a future. Perhaps you have. We're willing to take a chance.
A chance on what, sir?
A chance on Assistant Professor Hofkin. That's the offer, Hofkin, Assistant Professor of Bacteriology.
I'd be very glad to accept, sir.
Fine. That's what I like, Hofkin. No hemming and hawing, no false modesty. Congratulations, Professor.
Thank you, sir. I'm very happy.
Good. Now, just one thing, Hofkin, a necessary formality.
Yes?
Try to arrange your baptism for this week. We want you to begin teaching at once.
Did you say baptism, sir?
I believe that's what I said, and I believe you heard me. Baptism.
I beg your pardon, sir. I hadn't noticed it was nearly dusk. May I?
What are you talking about, Hofkin? May you what?
It's time for afternoon prayers. Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecho.
Hofkin, what is this?
Afternoon prayers, Your Excellency. Happy are they who dwell in thy house, for ever shall they praise thee, Selah. Happy the people whose destiny is such.
I gather that's your answer.
I suppose it is, sir.
Nice to see you, my dear Hofkin.
Yes, of course, sir. Thank you very much.
Hofkin! Your microscope case up, Keene.
Thank you, Professor Metchnikoff. I'm very grateful.
For what?
For seeing me off.
Oh, I'm just selfish. I had hoped you might change your mind.
That's why I'm going to Geneva. In Geneva, they don't want me to change my mind about anything.
Yes, of course. Oh, don't drop that case.
Let me open it, Professor Metchnikoff. Look in, Professor.
Well, it's a microscope, isn't it?
Yes, it's a microscope, Professor. And this velvet bag beside it holds a prayer shawl.
A microscope and a prayer shawl. Curious combination, Hakim. But I suppose they're your convictions, and a man has a right to live by his convictions. But not in Odessa, I'm afraid.
That's why I'm going to Geneva.
Hafkin, doesn't your science get in the way of your religion?
I don't think so. Both teach me to try to live decently. I haven't found any conflict. Should I?
I should think you'd be satisfied with the scientific method.
I don't know. Science tells me how. Religion tells me why.
Board! Board!
Well, good luck, Hafkin.
Thank you, Professor Metchnikoff. Professor.
Yes?
His Excellency, the rector of the medical faculty, is a fairly good scientist, isn't he?
Well?
Nothing, only it occurs to me that he has a most unscientific interest in what religion he doesn't want me to practice.
All aboard! Board!
In the spring of 1888, a microscope and a prayer shawl journeyed from the city of Odessa to Geneva. And the life of Waldemar Hafkin recommenced in the West upon a symbol. For 1 year, he labored in the laboratories of Geneva. And in the year 1890, a man called Louis Pasteur summoned him to Paris.
We're glad to have you, Hafkin, Professor Metchnikoff. Has recommended you very highly. Don't you like food, Hafkin?
The bread is fine, monsieur.
I'm sorry, Metchnikoff told me you observed the Jewish dietary laws. Jean, get Dr. Hafkin some hard-boiled eggs.
Oui, monsieur.
Thank you, monsieur.
Hafkin, it has been my rule never to discuss a man's religion, but don't you, as a scientist, find these dietary restrictions, these injunctions against mixing milk and meat, well, don't you find them slightly incompatible with your profession?
Monsieur Pasteur, you're a bacteriologist, aren't you?
I try to be. Why?
Under Hebrew dietary law, the blood is removed from the vascular system of all animals slaughtered for food. Would you call that bad bacteriology?
No, I dare say I would not. It's quite true that after death, the blood is invaded by microbial germs.
That's our dietary law, monsieur. For 3,000 years, we have sterilized in boiling water all utensils contaminated by unclean objects. We have rejected animal carcasses tainted with infection. We have purified our meat with crystal salt. I found it very curious that these rituals are now confirmed and blessed by the modern microscope.
Perhaps so, Dr. Hafkin, but so many rituals.
You wonder that I observe them all, don't you?
I'm afraid I do.
And I find myself wondering what life would be like without its ceremonials. No man can breathe pure oxygen.
Metchnikoff warned me I was acquiring an excellent microscope and...
And the prayer shawl.
Yes. Gentlemen, we have a problem. Asiatic cholera.
Is there another epidemic, Pasteur?
Not in Europe, monsieur, but once again in India. Inevitably, it must reach us. Our problem is simple. That is why it is so difficult. Thanks to Herr Koch, we know that a bacillus shaped like a comma is responsible. Our simple little problem is to take the good Herr Koch's cultures and prepare a vaccine against cholera.
Monsieur Pasteur, I'd like to try.
All of us would, Afkin.
I have a special reason.
Have you, Afkin?
500 years ago, people of my faith were massacred not many miles from the city because a pestilence came from the east. They were held responsible. I think I should like to work on a vaccine.
Are there any objections, gentlemen?
It seems there are none.
Very well, Afkin. May I suggest you begin at once?
Are these enough mice, Professor Afkin?
They'll do, Pierre. Are they labeled?
Better than that. I've named them. This is Suzanne. This is Marie, Alouette, Jeanne, Sophie, Valerie, Marcel, Antoinette, Yvonne.
All female?
Why not? All day long I see nothing but men. If some of these mice are not female, I'm sure they will forgive me.
All right, Pierre. Now, be very careful. You know what we do first?
Oui. Shoot the microorganisms into the mice. Gradually increase the dosage. Wait for antibodies to form. Prepare a vaccine. Inoculate the dying population of India. Try to appear modest. And make speeches to all the stuffed-shirt societies explaining you are not a hero, only the savior of half the world.
I see you have it all worked out, Pierre.
Naturally. I shall buy a villa at Cannes and eat snails in garlic sauce for the rest of my life.
Oh. Nothing else, Pierre?
Oh, yes. I shall become a patron of the arts. I am tone deaf. I don't understand poetry. And I am colorblind. I feel I am qualified.
Pierre, you are wasting your talents in the laboratory. You should go in for dramatic criticism.
I will consider it.
Yes, you do that, Pierre. Now, if you please, kindly consider the mice.
Now, be careful as you inject. If some of that solution gets into your system,
only God can help you. Now, please, Pierre, very careful.
In the year 1890, Waldemar Hafkin, working in the Paris laboratory of Louis Pasteur, began the long vigil of science against death. He rose at dawn, put on his phylacteries, and wrapped himself in his prayer shawl, and glorified the God of Israel. And then he removed his prayer shawl and took up the microscope. He surrounded himself with death in test tubes, and he defended himself with the weapons of his profession and the armor of his faith. In the weeks that passed, failure followed upon failure. The mice died. He prepared new cultures of the deadly cholera organism and began again. Still the mice died. But defeat for the man of science is a better teacher than success. And Waldemar Hafkin tried again.
Pierre, the mice die because our injections are too deadly. Now we must attenuate the virus, weaken it so that the mice will not succumb after the first injection.
Poor Antoinette. I was very fond of her.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir.
Now cook this solution.
Cook it?
Exactly.
You will kill the organism.
Either kill or weaken them. And we inject with dead or dying bacilli. That may be our answer. Cook them, Pierre. Let's begin from the beginning.
Slight swelling at the point of injection, but no dead mice.
Increase the strength of the injection, Pierre, and repeat.
Yvonne number two seems very happy, Dr. Afkin.
Increase the dosage, Pierre.
All mice present and accounted for.
Continue building the dosage.
They've got enough cholera bugs in them to wipe out the population of Europe.
Step number two, Pierre. Our assumption is that their blood is loaded with anti-cholera bodies. Now it's up to me to prepare a vaccine.
The
These mice were inoculated with vaccine?
Yes, Pasteur.
And these?
No vaccine. They are control.
I see. You are ready for your test.
I hope so. I've grown two cultures of cholera bugs on the peritoneum of guinea pigs. It's the deadliest culture I've made. Now I'm going to shoot the stuff into both groups of mice.
Good, Efkin. If the vaccinated group survives...
No, I'm not going to hope. I just wait. Just wait and see. Yeah? All right, Pierre.
Dr. Efkin, step two. You're on the right track. Every control mouse is dead.
For heaven's sake, Pierre, the vaccinated mice. How about them?
My friend Yvonne, number two. Look.
Huh? No, don't joke, Pierre. There are 19 others.
Only three are dead. 17 out of 20 are alive. You've got an anti-cholera vaccine, Doctor. You've got it.
But nothing is sure in life or in science. And Waldemar Hafkeen tried again. He repeated his experiment with new guinea pigs, using new controls. The vaccine held. The mice who were not inoculated died. 17 out of 20, 15 out of 20, 16 out of 20 of the vaccinated mice survived. Scientific proof. Now for Waldemar Hafkeen, still another step.
Yeah, is the vaccine sterile?
It is sterile.
Good. Some antiseptic on my arm, please.
What are you going to do?
Huh? Prove the vaccine is non-toxic. Going to inoculate myself.
It's dangerous, Dr. Hafkeen. Suppose you're wrong.
It's the only way to prove the vaccine is non-toxic. I don't believe in storybook heroes. They're generally very juvenile people. But I have calculated the risks, Pierre. I know the odds. And, you see, I believe in God, Pierre. And even in Dr. Pasteur's laboratory, God helps, Pierre. He helps.
I hope so. Go ahead and inoculate yourself.
Where are you going?
Why, I thought I'd just go to the door and kiss that...
The word is mezuzah.
Mezuzah. All right. I'll kiss it just for luck.
A mezuzah is not a good luck charm, Pierre. I'm religious, not superstitious.
But you kissed that doorpost scroll.
But not for luck, Pierre. There's a piece of parchment inside with a few passages from Deuteronomy. It's a reminder for me and for everyone of my faith that God is everywhere.
Well, I'm superstitious. You inoculate yourself. I'm going to kiss it for luck.
Cramps?
None at all.
Pain in the leg?
No pain.
Put this thermometer on the autumn. All the way.
I tell you, I have no temperature.
Shut up. I'm a scientist.
Feel my head, Pasteur?
With my lips, no doubt. Efkin, stop talking. You'll break the down thing.
All right.
I said stop talking. Pierre, how's this pulse?
I don't know. I'm busy taking my own.
Huh?
Well, if he could inoculate himself, well, so can I. I just took some of it. I'm scared stiff.
You did, eh? My dear Pierre, the pathology of Asiatic cholera after death in this stage of collapse often is characterized by post-mortem elevation of temperature, early and marked rigor mortis,
Mon
sometimes
Dieu.
Preceded by muscular twitching.
No.
The skin is dusky.
And shrunken, blood dark and concentrated.
Mon Dieu.
Serous membranes may be coated with fibrin. Small intestines may show...
What's your temperature, Dr. Keane?
Stop worrying, Pierre. My temperature is normal.
Congratulations, F.K. I think you have got it. The vaccine is now potent, non-toxic, laboratory tested.
Ah, that's just it. It works against a guinea pig infected with cholera. But will it be effective against the cholera bug in a human being? That's the only test.
Would you like to make that test?
Where? India?
Not just yet. Efkin, there is an outbreak of cholera in the city of Odessa.
Pierre, telegraph blank. I'm wiring the rector of the university right away.
Here is your answer, Efkin.
Wait until I dry my hands.
Thank you, Pasteur.
Well, Efkin?
It's the rector's answer. His Excellency has wasted no time. Read it for yourself, Pasteur.
The government of His Imperial Majesty prefers that the peasants should die with a prayer for the Tsar on their lips rather than throw their lives to a Jew.
In the year 1893, when the monsoons retreated from the provinces of India, Asiatic cholera struck with dread force. In 10,000 cities and villages, from Madras in the south to Rawalpindi in the north, there was a shriveling of the skin and a continual prostration. And a quiet man with a microscope and a prayer shawl, carrying gallons of an untried vaccine, disembarked at the port of Bombay. And Valdemar Mordecai Hafkeen began his work.
One at a time, please. Easy there, easy. Hold them back. Back. One at a time. Dr. Hafkeen, I think you can begin with the first one.
Thank you, sir. All right, clerk.
Name, Abba, sex, male, age 26. Caste, Mang, birthplace, Karanja.
Clerk, you've explained that this is voluntary. The one has understood that these inoculations will be given without any compulsion.
I speak English, doctor. I understand.
Good. Now, please hold out your arm. Steady. It won't hurt very much. Steady. Good. Thank you, sir.
No more?
That's all, sir.
Sadhu Babaji next. Then Ghulam Abdul Nahi. Govind Babaji. Tokaram Rama.
In line, please. No crowding. Dr. Hafkeen is here to stay. Now, please wait your turn. Dr. Hafkeen is not leaving India.
For 14 years, Dr. Valdemar Mordecai Hafkeen did not leave India. Countless millions of lives were saved by his anti-cholera vaccine. And when the bubonic plague spread its black death in Mysore, in Hyderabad, in Hindustan, and in the Punjab, Hafkeen discovered a serum against a second pestilence. Cholera and bubonic plague, scourges of mankind, most ancient of the death riders, humble before the weapon of a man with a microscope and a prayer shawl.
It is written in the book of Ben Sira. Honor a physician with the honor due unto him, for the Lord hath created him.
If you will remember the name of Valdemar Hafkeen, let it be for these things, that it was given me to add my small stone to the pyramid of history, that the banners I have held in my hand and pass on to you are the legacy of generations dead to generations still not born. Let it be for the glory of all men in the name of God.
Copies of the script you have just heard, including the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present a brief talk by Dr. Mortimer J. Cohen, Rabbi of the Temple Beth Sholem of Philadelphia, who speaks to us from Philadelphia.
The If Waldemar Hafkin had been unique among Jews in his devotion to science and religion, his life story would have no great significance for us. It is precisely because he was not unique, but was typical of great Jewish scientists throughout the ages, that his life is symbolic of what Judaism teaches about science and religion. In the Holy Scriptures of Israel, God set forth the intimate companionship of religion and science at the very dawn of creation when he proclaimed, "Let us make man in our image, and let them have dominion over all the earth." For Judaism, there can be no conflict between religion and science. Religion's highest purpose is to inspire men to fashion a decent way of life for themselves upon the earth. Science is the knowledge that men have acquired about the physical world outside them and the spiritual world within them. And God gave men reason and intelligence with which to utilize these materials of these worlds towards the building of that decent life. Thus, Waldemar Hafkin fulfilled the noblest tradition of the Jew in the symbols of the prayer shawl and the microscope. A prayer shawl and a microscope, these provide the dual means for the making of the decent human life. "Doesn't your science get in the way of your religion?" he was asked. "I don't think so," he modestly answered. "Both teach me to live decently." To live decently is the whole glory of man. Science and religion are God's tools to help men realize the decent life. Knowledge can be acquired by all men, and religion should set the goal for all men to achieve. All men of all races, religions, and nationalities should be given the opportunity to acquire knowledge and to use it for the enhancement of human living. Indeed, the spiritual justification of democracy itself as a way of life rests upon the faith that it makes possible the discovery of other Hafkins yet undiscovered, whose goodness and genius witness to the glory of God and the decent brotherhood of man.
Thank you, Dr. Cohen. The Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music is composed by Henry Brandt and conducted by Milton Catons. The vocalist was cantor Robert H. Siegel, and the speaker was Dr. Mortimer J. Cohen. Featured today were Carl Swenson as Waldemar Hafkin and Barry Kroger as narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery. Eternal Light is a public service presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. For free copies of the script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. This program came to you from New York City. This is the National Broadcasting Company.